from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we have a lot to talk about. It wasn't necessarily the most eventful day yesterday for the Giants, the last full day of the winter meetings. But they did finally announce their coaching staff, so we're going to spend much of today talking about that staff. And also, this morning was the Rule 5 draft, and the Giants did make a selection in the Major League portion, and they didn't lose anybody. So we'll talk about their pick and what exactly it means for this team moving forward. Definitely the first thing I want to talk about, though, is the coaching staff. So the bullpen coach is going to be Craig Albernaz, who comes over from the Rays. He was working as their minor league field coordinator. The pitching coach is going to be Andrew Bailey. I did not even realize they were considering him. Bailey was a recent major league player, most well known for his time as a relief pitcher for the Oakland A's. Pitching director is going to be Brian Bannister, and I have heard that he is going to be the only of these coaches who's not going to be in uniform in the dugout, but he's going to oversee pitching at the major league and minor league levels. They promoted Ethan Katz to assistant pitching coach. He was working as a pitching coach in the Giants minor league system. Kai Correa is going to be the bench coach. This is a big surprise for me because we knew for a while that Kai Correa was going to join the Giants, but it was reported that he would be the first base coach, but he's actually going to be the bench coach for Gabe Kapler. Correa is 31 years old and comes from the Indians system where he was an infield coach. He's going to also continue to be an infield coach for the Giants. He has a tremendous reputation in the game, known as a great teacher and a really excellent infield coach. Hitting coaches are going to be Justin Veal and Donnie Ecker, which that news, you know, is not new. We've talked about both of those guys individually, and I think they're exciting. They bring a, you know, new school thinking to these positions. Director of hitting is going to be Dustin Lind. So that's three hitting coaches on the staff. That's very unorthodox. Dustin Lind is also highly respected in the industry and comes over from the Seattle Mariners. And then, of course, the third base coach will be Ron Wotus. The Giants have not yet selected a first base coach or a quality control coach, which I believe they're expecting to hire the quality control coach as well. But obviously, they'll need a first base coach. And for at least one of those two positions, they are going to prioritize a native Spanish speaker, which is obviously, I think, a good idea. So immediately what jumps off the page about this coaching staff is that they're extremely young, especially relative to other coaches around baseball, historically in particular. The youngest coach is Justin Veal at 29, and the oldest is Brian Bannister at 38. And remember, he's not even going to be in the dugout, apparently. So actually, just to clarify, Ecker and Veal are officially titled hitting coach. Dustin Lind is director of hitting / assistant hitting coach. Kai Correa is the bench coach and infield / base running instructor. Craig Albernaz is also the catching coach in addition to being the bullpen coach. So yes, as I was saying, what jumps off the page is the youth of this coaching staff, and they're also lacking in major league playing experience besides Andrew Bailey and Brian Bannister. But quite frankly, I don't think that matters. A lot of people are making a big deal about that, but it's a trend around the game. And as I have said, and it was echoed by the Giants front office when they were talking about these hires last night, if you can teach, you can teach. If you can coach, you can coach. So I think people are being a little close-minded when they get up in arms saying that the fact that they don't have decades of experience as a coach at the major league level, or they didn't play at the major league level, doesn't necessarily mean anything. I'll turn your attention to the breakouts of Justin Turner and JD Martinez as an example. They were taught by private instructors who didn't have major league coaching experience or major league playing experience and became superstars by making the adjustments from those private coaches. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have that background to be good at this. And that's what the Giants are investing in here. And a lot of these guys do have experience as major league coaches. I mean, Kai Correa, for example, was a major league coach for the Indians. Donnie Ecker, Andrew Bailey was, Brian Bannister was. Last thing I want to point out about the coaches here is that the Giants reportedly tried to hire Rachel Balcovich for a uniformed position, I believe quality control coach. And it is believed that this is the first time a woman has interviewed for a job on a big league coaching staff. It sounds like they wanted to hire her, but she elected to keep her position that she had just landed with the New York Yankees. She has a background in strength and conditioning and hitting. They clearly think a lot of her and wanted to hire her, but you know, it didn't happen. Who knows? They could still seek groundbreaking type hires with the two positions that remain unfilled. And I hope they do. I think, you know, obviously more diversity is a good thing. Anyway, I think it's cool that the Giants are being cutting edge and they're trying things that haven't been done before necessarily. And it is a trend around the game that we're going younger and we're going with coaches who might have the most to offer as opposed to coaches who have the most experience. By offer, I mean provide tangible assistance to development at the major league level. This is something we've been talking about every time we've discussed the coaches, is that this represents player development at the major league level is going to be heavily emphasized here. And for good reason. I mentioned Justin Turner and JD Martinez a couple minutes ago. Gerrit Cole comes to mind as a guy pitching for the Pirates. He had great stuff, but it didn't really translate to being a dominant pitcher. He goes to Houston and he almost doubles his strikeout rate. And it has everything to do with the development that the Astros were able to do with him at the major league level. They transformed him from being good but not reaching his potential to fully realizing his potential and becoming probably the best pitcher and most dominant pitcher in the game. His strikeout rate this year was the best in MLB history for a starting pitcher. So that's what the Giants are trying to do. They're trying to bring those development techniques into their major league dugout, and they should be trying to do that. So let's just see how it plays out. These are the people they think are best to achieve that type of goal. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the Rule 5 draft, summarize the winter meetings, and talk about what comes next for the Giants. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Listening on the go? If you can't visit DoorDash right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about the results of the Rule 5 draft that was this morning, summarize the Giants' activity at the winter meetings, and preview what's to come. So in the major league portion of the Rule 5 draft, the Giants selected right-handed pitcher Danny Jimenez, who was most recently in AA for the Toronto Blue Jays. He had an awesome season in 2019, striking out 93 batters in 59 innings compared to just 21 walks. In AA, he had a 1.87 ERA, 3.14 fielding independent pitching, 2.56 expected fielding independent pitching. Those peripheral numbers were even better in high A, where he had a 1.69 FIP, 1.21 XFIP. Those are phenomenal numbers. And Baseball America's executive editor, J.J. Cooper, tweeted out when the Giants selected Jimenez that he was, quote, his favorite player in the draft, stuff plus upper-level experience plus control. And he had done a write-up, or at least Baseball America had done a write-up of Jimenez prior to the Rule 5 draft, saying, Jimenez was outstanding in 2019. He struck out 14 batters per 9 innings between high Class A and Double A while only allowing a 1.12 walks plus hits per innings pitched. Jimenez has a high 90s fastball with arm side run, a plus slider, and a low 80s changeup that shows promise. Most power arms with his kind of stuff who are available in the Rule 5 draft either have zero upper-level minor league experience or well below average control. Jimenez spent half the year in AA and has average control. He is one of the more well-rounded prospects available with fewer drawbacks than most available arms. So I'm not exactly sure why nobody took Jimenez ahead of the Giants, who picked 10th in this Rule 5 draft. Some teams weren't eligible to make selections because they had full 40-man rosters. Worth noting, too, the Giants did not lose any prospects in the major league portion of the Rule 5 draft, so a lot of people were freaking out when they failed to protect any of their eligible prospects by adding them to the 40-man roster. But, of course, turns out Giants knew what they were doing and didn't lose any of their prospects to this process. At least for the major league portion, they did lose some in the minor league portion, but that tends to be a more insignificant process that doesn't usually yield any real results. But the major league portion is different because now Danny Jimenez will need to be on the major league roster all season long or else the Giants will have to offer him back to the Blue Jays. So you don't take a guy here unless you think he has a chance to stick on your major league roster. The Giants said they were very high on him and were glad that he fell to them at number 10. So summarizing the Giants' winter meetings as a whole, I think they made probably the most savvy trade of any team at the meetings. I'm not sure there were any other trades, actually. The trade for Zach Cozart taking on the money, you know, plus attaching Will Wilson, essentially effectively buying him, to me was one of the more savvy trades this organization has ever made. And the industry, people in the know, consider that an extremely shrewd move by Farhan Zaidi and the Giants. And I agree with that. And then I really like the upside of a Kevin Gausman. Looking at his updated projections for Oracle Park, he figures to outperform Madison Bumgarner next season, just as an example of A, what Kevin Gausman offers, and B, maybe the alarming, scary nature of what Madison Bumgarner may do in 2020 and beyond. The Steamer and Zips projections for Gausman have come out adjusted for Oracle Park, and Zips projects him at a 3.81 ERA as a starter, which is really good in this day and age, and Steamer projects him at 4.03. Bear in mind that the NL average starter had a 4.33 ERA in 2019, and Giants starters had a 4.77 ERA. So I'm bullish on Gausman. Loved the trade. Giants, you know, rumors about Nicholas Castellanos, rumors about Madison Bumgarner, rumors about they were in on Gregorius, they were in on Cole Hamels, they were in on Garrett Cole. So I think, you know, as exciting as it is for me to talk about these little moves and these savvy moves, there could very well be bigger moves coming that will really capture the attention of the mainstream fan. That being said, it's impossible to know exactly when the next move is going to happen, but I do anticipate that the Giants will be active this offseason. There was also a line, I think it came out last night, from Farhan Zaidi saying that last year they were careful about only handing out one-year deals. Of course, they did offer the big deal to Harper, but their financial situation was a little different last year, and this year they have a ton more flexibility, and they can get really creative, whether it's adding in free agency, taking on money like we saw with Cozart, moving a player like Samardzija, who's owed a lot, but paying it down, maybe paying all of it, letting a team have a free Samardzija in order to land another prospect. You know, it's just one of numerous possibilities that the Giants have, and it's, again, worth crediting them with getting themselves into that position and knowing how to take advantage of it. So the very last thing I want to say, it was a point I wanted to make about the coaching staff. A lot of the reaction has been negative to this young and, quote, inexperienced coaching staff, even though they all have plenty of experience as coaches. It's not like they're just plucking people off the street and just inserting them into a coaching position. These guys are coaches. That's what they do. So people's reaction is so negative, saying, oh, well, how are the veterans going to respond? How is Brandon Crawford and Jeff Samardzija and Buster Posey going to handle these inexperienced coaches who are their age or younger? Well, newsflash, This organization is no longer catering to the overpaid, underperforming veterans on the roster. Okay, this is a new era, and those guys need to adapt or else they're gone, and they're gone anyway, most likely. Nobody is signed after 2021 except for Evan Longoria. So this is the last year for some people. Samardzija's contract is up after 2020. And then all the, quote, core guys like Posey and Crawford and Belt and Cueto are just, you know, signed for one more season after 2020. So this is more these coaches' team of the future than the players. The coaches are going to be here for the long term, hopefully. And the players are not. The veteran players are not. So anyway, I just thought that was an odd angle to take, that we're just going to cater to these guys who you know, have done a lot in the past, but definitely need to improve to be worthy of sticking around in the league. So just a little bit of a reality check there. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.